Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for being with us today. As you know, we're now part of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And you'll see an icon for podcasts over there. And if you go there, you'll see our schedule for the week and then all of the shows we've done, let's say, in the last couple of months. And it'll take you also to where you can find the archives way, way back to 2011 when we started this whole thing. But we're very proud of what we're doing for equity with our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do over there is free to K-12 educators, actually pre-K-12 educators, excuse me on that, okay, including our magazine, which is absolutely excellent, which is called Equity in Access. It's an online journal. You'll see it right over there. All of our podcasts, all the information we put out, et cetera, et cetera. It's all there for you. We invite you to join if you're in K-12 for free. Everything we do is free. ace-ed.org. We want to be a voice for equity. We want your voice in there as well. So please join with us, okay? And you'll see all the icons over there for LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and all that sort of stuff. We do hope you follow us. I got a nice show for you today. We're going to talk about best practices and challenges in implementing and maintaining effective hybrid learning systems. How important is that these days? A thank you goes out to Kathleen Perry, who helped me put this show together. I know you're listening. I bet you are, Kathleen. So thank you very much for all your hard work at doing this. We've got folks from Promethean, okay, that great company. And we got Cheryl Miller, and we have Lance Solomon. I'll bring them both on right now. There they are, ladies first. Okay, so let's start off with Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl. It's Larry.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Bringing in the new year. Happy to have 2020 behind us.
Aren't we all? And let's hope that, you know, we always remind you of the old rock opera, Tommy. There's a line in there. I heard that 21 is going to be a good year. And I think they're talking about age, but I'm talking about years. And I hope 2021 is a great year for all of us. And Lance, are you there as well?
I'm here, Larry. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. Where are you calling from?
We're both in Seattle.
Oh, your numbers are different. That's why I was checking. But I see now you got a 206 up there. Okay, very good. How's Seattle today? I live all the way across the country from you in Maine. So how's the weather in usually cloudy Seattle?
Oh, yeah. We've been having the typical Pacific Northwest weather. Lots of rain. Lots
that.
Of clouds. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, you just stay smiling, okay? 21 is going to be a light, bright, and sunny year, okay? Cheryl, you're the chief marketing officer over at Promethean. Tell us all about Promethean before we get into the actual subject so people know exactly what you guys do and why you're so expert in implementing and maintaining the hybrid learning systems we're talking about. It's your turn. Go for it. Cheryl Miller, chief marketing officer at Promethean, all about Promethean. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. Promethean is primarily an ed tech company who has been in this space for over 20 years. We have a goal to be the preferred global partner and really focused on teaching, learning, and collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
I think primarily our number one offering is our interactive flat panel displays, but then also bringing into that lesson delivery software and our professional development with our education consultants. So we're, you know, for teachers by teachers and really have a very big passion for learning and education.
And by the way, I knew the answer to that question, but I wanted you to tell the world about it and brag about it. Lance, anything to add? Your VP of operations. Are you performing?
Yeah.
Does that mean you're performing surgery on a daily basis? What does that mean? What kind of operations?
It kind of feels like it. For operations at Promethean, we do everything from planning the products that we sell to manufacturing to shipping, and then ultimately supporting our customers as they implement our products. And so me and my team hear on a daily basis what the challenges customers are having. As they call into our support lines, they send us emails, they chat with us. So the I think, you know, Cheryl articulated it quite well. There's probably a couple of things I would add that sort of come up from our viewpoint,
I guess,
in interacting with customers. And that's one thing. You've got the challenges of today, but you also are making a decision as you're implementing technology to look at, you know, the solutions you're buying. They're gonna sit in the classroom for 2, 5, 10 years, how many ever years you can get some useful life out of it. And so you've got to understand all those variables beyond just maybe one in terms of looking at something that's going to last that long in the classroom. And then another key one that comes up is it's called interoperability, right? A little bit more technical, but how does that product work with other products, especially as you look at hybrid learning? And really deciding that up front is important, because once you get down the road and you figure out it doesn't work, you're sort of in a bit of a bind and have to work yourself out of that situation. So I'd say those are a couple of things that, in addition to what Cheryl talks about, that we see from a customer perspective.
That's actually a great perspective, because as VP of operations, you're the guy who takes what teachers need and what they're telling you they need and what your experts tell you they need, okay, making that happen. And then it's Cheryl's job to get it out there, get that information out there. And I know you guys do a lot of work with thought leadership and all that sort of stuff, as well as promoting your products. It's really incredible. I'm going to stick with Lance for 1 second. Lance, as you talk to educators, your thousands of clients out there in school districts, et cetera, okay, we all know the world has changed. I don't think it's going to go back, and I'd love your perspective on it, and Cheryl's too. I don't think it's going to go back to the way it was exactly. I mean, it may have changed from what it is today. I hope so, certainly. But there's changes now. There's a sea change, all right? So as you talk to educators, and again, you're executive VP of operations, you got to make the magic happen. Okay, what are the schools struggling with most right now? And as you hear this, what do you do to meet the challenges of that? I'll ask Lance that.
Yeah, that's a great question, Larry. It's interesting, because the challenges first started off with, on the operational side, with just how do we get access to schools and shutdowns, and then quickly it migrated from more of a logistical problem to then, okay, now how am I going to operate in my classroom? How is this technology going to work together? And I mentioned that interoperability. I think that's one thing that we see our customers struggling with.
Oh, it's key.
Yeah, it is, because you buy a product and you think, you know, based on that specification, it should work with this piece of software, and you find out that maybe it doesn't, just because of some way they built the product. And so it's really important, and that's what we see a lot of people struggling with, is how do you work through that procurement process, right? Just as me and my role in operations, I do procurement all day, from logistics providers to the hardware that they build and the components that go into the hardware. Schools are doing the same thing, and so that's always a struggle. You've got to look at it from 360-degree perspective, considering, as you said, what the current environment is, and then how is that going to adjust in the future? Because you're buying something, again, that's going to sit in the classroom for some time, and that's the ideal. Otherwise, you're not going to get your return on investment.
Exactly. And let me just stay with you 1 second, Lance. Look at the world today. You guys make the interactive displays and all that, and we're talking about hybrid learning. Again, you guys are expert on that. What are the challenges regarding hybrid learning and what Promethean does? And then I want to ask Cheryl how she messages this to people once you get this straight. But where do what you guys do fit into what the world of hybrid learning has to do right now? And I know Cheryl's going to talk about that as well, but you start.
Sure. So I think the biggest role we played, and Cheryl has a lot more knowledge here than I do, but really helping our customers define what it is, like, how do you do this? And so we started off early on figuring out methods that we could suggest, not necessarily even all of our products, right, but finding, you know, setups that work, demonstrating those setups and allowing educators to understand how that setup would work. I think that's the biggest role we've played from the beginning. And then obviously we have our products which support that environment, mainly from a hybrid perspective, where you then have the ability to adapt. And I think that's probably one that I failed to mention, is that in the current challenge our customers also face, is they've got to adapt. You know, One day you're 100% on site. Next day you're hybrid. Next day you might be fully remote. Sometimes they're all remote, and then trying to work back into on site. And so you've got to have that flexibility. And so really, we play a role in helping define how our solutions can be used, providing that roadmap, so to speak, to the teachers, and then ultimately continuing to develop our products to support the future needs in that hybrid environment.
You know, it's so good. Thank you. That was a good explanation. Cheryl, I know you guys have a great sales force out there to help the school districts along. It's hard to contact all the school districts these days. You know, everything's virtual and all that sort of thing. Your job is to market the products, to get the message out there. But one of the reasons we started our consortium, okay, is because I was always concerned. I know this industry very well, and this industry has a lot of very bright educational people in it, the industry, okay? But too often, okay, the school districts see the industry from a sales point of view, all right? But what Lance just said, he just said beyond our products, we had to help the schools, all right? And that's something I know that you guys message, okay, that you want education to work, and you have the power and expertise behind it. How do you message all this in these crazy times, Cheryl? And feel free to go on with that and talk about particular Promethean things if you want. But you get my question. It's a tough time.
Absolutely. Yes, Larry, I do. And just building on what Lance had said and to your question, you know, Promethean is really focused on building a partnership with our customers.
Right.
It's about the relationship for us. And it's really all about engaging, getting teachers to engage with the technology, getting them comfortable in knowing how to utilize it in the classroom for the best possible outcome of the student. And so how can we engage the students more? I mean, think about like whenever you try to learn something or whenever I try to learn something, I'm ending up with maybe, I don't know, I retain 20% of it. And
yeah, exactly.
So now you've got students, especially if you think about the elementary level.
I have
level
to stop
students.
You. If you were retaining 20%, you're in the advanced class. I'm in the 5% class. Okay.
I'm an overachiever.
There you go. You're an overachiever. You did very well. Congratulations, April. No, go ahead. Continue, please. Advanced student. Go ahead.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, for the older students that might be in high school, you know, it's one thing to be put into a remote situation because they're used to being online a lot, watching YouTube or gaming or, you know, TikTok, all those things.
Yeah.
But for the elementary kids, it's hard to sit still. And so when you're in your home, right, or when you're in the class only a couple days a week and you're going back and forth, the distraction is huge. And so I think for us at Promethean, we are constantly thinking about how do we better engage the students and how do we do that by helping the teachers. And so we've got this, you know, vast group of education consultants that were all previous teachers. And so we bring together the product with the support and the warranty, the software, and the actual engagement to the teacher and make sure that they know how to use the device. We're offering, you know, learning for them. We do courses for them. And just constantly keeping that engagement forward. And so when we think about messaging on the marketing side, and this is something Lance and I have really put a lot of focus on in the last, I would say, 6 months, is the whole journey. It's not just about the let me message to you and sell you something, but because our brand is so built on the partnership, it's the whole journey. It's how can every customer become an advocate for us, and how do we make sure that the stuff that Lance sees on the support side ends up being brought back in so that we deliver that into the design of the product at the engineering side. And so being coordinated across the executive leadership team across the whole journey has been a big focal point for us in the last 6 months, especially as COVID has been, you know, just devastating.
It is devastating, and hopefully we'll be over it soon. And my point of what we're doing here, we're trying to create a space to talk about equity from the expertise of the companies and of the experts in there, okay, to the educational community with forgetting about the sales thing. Okay, we need a place. Too many people think that the industry is just sales. And look at what you guys are saying right now, that you take all your consultants, everything else, and put everything you know about education into all the products. okay? And you present stuff to these to the school districts that helps them engage the kids. It's just I don't think enough people realize they're used to seeing the industry in a sales situation. That's why I love doing these shows with a company like yours, because it goes to show how deep your expertise in education really goes. And I think it's just incredibly important to constantly break that point along. I want you to do me a favor, Cheryl. You said, you know, that you guys make the interactive displays and all that. All right, we're in a hybrid learning situation. Some kids are totally remote. Others are half at school. You know the story. Put your products into what we do here, if you can, in that equity point of view, and how this is all working to help students engage in this time and how teachers are doing it. Give them the real answer. Get down to the nitty-gritty of it, Cheryl. Promethean and today's world and equity and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it's interesting. Our hybrid solution actually came about from us having to shift the way that we did business with being virtual. So we started doing live demos. And these live demos had a typical camera, focused on one of our education consultants, a teacher, with the panel.
Yep.
And then they would also have their laptop there, and they would do the demo by sharing their screen, but also leveraging the whiteboard, and then bringing in the elements of the lesson in one window on the panel and having the whiteboard on the other panel. And as we were demonstrating this, trying to show people the power of the solution and how you could utilize it, we realized this is the hybrid solution. This is actually the best way to deliver a lesson for a student who's at home. Because when they're in the class, they can come up and engage directly with the panel. But when they're at home, they get that experience of being able to not only see the teacher, not in a little tiny tile at the bottom of your laptop, but see the teacher with the whiteboard as they're engaging in the lesson.
Yeah.
And anything that they wanted to bring in from the web, you know, or from like their graphics, maybe they're doing geography, that experience is much more interactive. And so this is what we actually need to be marketing. This is where the value, you know, to the schools is going to come in as they navigate through this. And when they get back into class, everybody now knows how to leverage the technology in a better way. Then the resource utilization is much better, right? I think teachers are overburdened, and I think the IT staff is definitely overburdened. They've become the call center for everyone. And so it's all about accelerated learning in some senses, right? It's not just the engagement or the productivity, but it's the how do you accelerate it, because learning from home is tough.
It is tough. And, you know, you just said an important thing, okay? And I'm trying to get this across on several podcasts. We kind of have lowered our expectations, all right, this year of kids learning. And you just used the word accelerate those intentions, and I think those expectations. And I think that's a key thing to talk about. We have to have the tools necessary to keep kids engaged and on track so that they learn just like they learned before. Our expectations as educators should not be lowered anymore. Okay, we have to find the right tools that keep the expectations high, and believe me, the kids will rise to the occasion. I think what you said just now is very, very important. Okay, all about accelerating. Go ahead, please.
Larry, I could not agree with you more. I actually was listening to your podcast on the socio-emotional impact that classroom design has. Before the holidays.
Yes,
and there's many like common threads with that classroom design that we're kind of talking around today as well, right? This conducive to learning. How do you build that environment that's conducive to learning? I think our panels are part of that, right? They're the way that you get the teacher productivity and how you connect with kids, that it comes in many different layers, right? And it's very impactful when you get it right. And it's very, you know, kind of blasé if you don't get it right.
That's right.
And so I think schools really have to get this figured out to get their achievement results up.
Absolutely, without question. I think you were referring to that podcast I did with the schools. I think it's Cedar Falls or something in Indiana. Okay, yes. I think that's yes. what you are referring to. And I did that with my friends at Norvin Nival, the furniture company, helped me set that one up, and that was a really good show. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, when we were planning this show, okay, you wrote me, Kathleen wrote me, and said a lot of schools are seeking bespoke, that's the word you used, bespoke solutions to help them transition to new learning models. This is right off my little prep sheet, okay? Let me swing it back over to Lance. Lance, when you say bespoke solutions, what does that mean? Does it have to do with the EdTech partnership? Or what do you know what that phrasing means that you guys sent me?
Yeah.
Bespoke solutions.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go for it, Mr. Solomon.
You bet, Larry. It has to do with creating a customized version of hardware and or software specific to maybe your school, maybe your district, right? And we see this pops up around the globe in many of our customers, and it can be good and bad. So I think the key thing to call out with bespoke, again, it comes back to interoperability. It comes back to product hanging on a wall of a classroom 5 to 10 years. All of those things are going to become a trade-off if you look at a bespoke solution. As we develop our hardware and many high-tech hardware, there's a lot of effort that goes into ensuring you have a quality product. And the moment you start customizing that, you put that at risk. Now, it's a trade-off, right? You have to look, what are the needs of my schools? What are the needs of my students? Mm-hmm. What are the needs of my teachers? What are the needs of myself as an IT administrator? And it's really having that 360-degree assessment process so that you go in eyes wide open and you understand. I guess the best example I can give, right, we manage customer support. So we obviously have a set of software to manage our calls, to manage our cases, chats, emails, and turns out there's a lot of advanced technology we could use in this software, but we ended up making a customized solution early on for this software.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're
mm-hmm.
actually in the middle right now, ripping out all this customization so that we can get better features for our customers when they call us and solve their problems faster. And so it's sort of the same analogy. If you look at building stuff for a classroom, if you start to make it specific to you, then new features come along. Guess what? Your bespoke solution may not be able to take advantage of those capabilities. And so it's a set of trade-offs. Like if you look at everything we do to build our products, there's some
yep.
stuff that is bespoke. But we methodically go through that process of choosing what's going to be customized for Promethean and what can we take advantage of off the shelf hardware that
yeah.
we know we can just live with and breathe with as we continue to support these products, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and you bring up an interesting point. This is something that the companies really have to be aware of, and I'd like you to talk about this a little bit, Lance. Each school is different. You mentioned about you have to look at the needs, okay, of each different school, each different district, if you want to take it out that far, okay? How hard... Let me ask it a different way. Your salespeople come home, they're talking to clients about what clients are. What are the differences that people are looking for in a school between I don't even know where they would be. What's the difference between a rural high school and an urban high school? Is that what you're talking about? Where do those differences lie, and how do you guys possibly accommodate that? There's 12,000 school districts out there.
Yeah. So some of the differences are in terms of what we like to call speeds and feeds, right? They want different ports, maybe. They want different speed processors. And then some of it's on the software side, right? Like they want the software to do this as opposed to that. And so you see those differences across the different customers. And you call it a good point, Larry, which is a small school versus a big school. A big school may have more network type considerations, right? They have bigger,
right.
a lot more classrooms, a lot more network connectivity. They've got a lot more security that they're concerned with. And then you have smaller districts, maybe even just single schools. They're going to be less concerned about that. And so you get a spectrum of just the hardware itself, right? And the components and what we call speeds and feeds. And then you've got the software and sort of the blend of those two come together, because you can't, obviously you can't install, just looking at computers, you can't put Mac software on Windows OS, right? Somebody's got to create that version for Windows and vice versa. Each school has to go through whatever their calculus is to decide what the best procurement approach for them is, and that's why we bring it up, because many times we've seen with customers trying to back out, as we are, as I mentioned in that example with our customer support infrastructure software, you make that decision too fast, you don't consider all these dimensions, and then you think customize is great, but then you find out it's not so good. So you really want to focus on what is the stuff that absolutely needs to be customized based on my needs.
Yeah, and you know, and really, when you say that, I want to get, and it's the same. You use the word, which I know very well. You guys work with COSET, and I work with COSET an awful lot too, the Consortium on School Networking. Okay, and you know, the whole, they're always bringing up interoperability, which you brought up about 5 or 6 times in just a few minutes we've been together, Lance. Okay, it's a key thing. All right, when you talk about all the things a school needs, everything they buy in terms of ed tech has to be interoperable, if I may, with everything else they buy. Otherwise, you've got the Wild West. It's like a spaceship that doesn't have the we launched on AC and everything works on DC. We can't do it that way. Okay, you're out in outer space. Okay, you can't do it that way. All right, so we got to put it all together. Talk about, you know, as you see this happening right now, is the key consideration operability? And my question on that to you is, how do you possibly build that into a system when we don't even know what's going to be coming down the pike? It's almost impossible. But how do you do it? Because I know you guys do it, or at least the best you can.
Yeah. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I think Cheryl. Did I hear Cheryl? Wait a minute, Lance. Ms. Miller.
I was thinking about what just popped into my mind is our channel partners. They've got some just awesome expertise, and they're many of them very dedicated to this space. And I think they really help us figure out what the environment is going to be, and what do we need to be looking at,
good point.
You know, from a solution standpoint. And so it's not just having that partnership and relationship with the customer, but then also the channel partners that are out there a lot of times helping us with the implementation, right? And figuring out what the needs of each of the individual schools are. And I'm a huge fan of, like, you know, the good artist copy and the great artist steal quote, where if you're a school district, instead of going the bespoke route, instead of building something that is, you know, more calculus, like what could you do from the remedial standpoint, where you're taking a success story from somewhere else and a best practice and building that into your overall, you know, solution for the school.
Thank you. That was very good. I'm glad you chimed in. Lance, anything to add to that? I'm serious. That was great. You're right, Lance. She really does know her stuff. You were right when you said that about
him. You bet.
I'm blushing.
I would just add that, you know, we talked a little bit about the partnership, and part of what you said is right. You're never going to guess everything, right? So as Cheryl mentioned, we focus on learning from our customers, figuring out what the most logical progression is going to be, but then we spend a lot of time fixing some stuff on the back end that has become interoperable over time. And that's part of us is mapping out that entire customer journey and make sure we're being very specific in the experience we want at all points along that journey, not just the sales cycle of that journey. And so I'd say that's the main additional point I would add is we view it as a long-term partnership, and where
Thank
it
you.
Makes sense, if we can do so, we will figure out how to make things work.
Yeah, and by the way, that was very well said. You know, and I think that's, if I may, representative of many of the companies in our field of education. Okay, they care about sales. Everybody cares about sales, but the journey goes a lot further. And I love the way you said that. The journey goes a lot further than that. Okay, if we're not, yep. And you guys are a prime example of that. I've known your company for a long time. If a company isn't going to be there for the long haul, don't use them. Okay, because too many things are changing too often. Okay, and that's why I love doing a show like this. So all in all, so Cheryl, put the company. All right. Again, you're the marketing maven. You're the messenger. Okay. You're the chief marketing officer. You got to take everything you do, put it together out there. Where do you see? What do you see coming down the pike in the future? Let's say 2022 and or 2021 and 2022.
Well, I think
Almighty Seer, you're like the lady on the Partha. What do they call that lady? The Delphi, the Oracle of Delphi. You are the Oracle of Delphi. Okay, for Prometheum. Okay, what do you see for the future, Almighty Oracle? Right.
Well, I think that we've taken some really interesting learnings over the past year in how we can educate students and different ways that we can learn. And, when you're pushed, there tends to be growth. So I think that when students are completely back into the classroom, and what's interesting is we make an assumption that they will get back into the classroom. And I think at another time, it might be worth diving into that to say, did we really dig into whether or not, certain aspects are right?
Absolutely.
Learning environment?
I agree.
Like, I think parents, I'm a parent. So as a parent, we just want our kids back in class. But I think at some point there's an onion to, kind of peel on whether or not, what takeaways could we really have? But with that said, right now the movement seems to be that everybody wants their kids back in school. And I think ed tech is going to be really prevalent in that.
Oh,
it's not, it was
absolutely
good in the remote. It's been great, I think, in the hybrid. And I think it's going to be even better in the classroom. And now people will have a much better understanding of how to take full advantage of it. So
that's right.
I think ed tech is going to be a big part of that. And I think that there's some of the kind of old views of how you educate that are getting broken down, and you're going to find that the curriculum and the teachings are going to be more focused on the different needs of each individual student and their kind of capabilities of learning. So I think we're going to see a lot more diversity in the classroom, which is a good thing. I think the students will help teach other students. And I think there's going to be more of a kind of a holistic, organic growth for that acceleration of learning.
I think that was very well said. Lance, your final thoughts, my friend? Not final in terms of your life, final in terms of this show.
Oh, well, that's good news.
I just want you, I'm not the Grim Reaper. I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Yeah.
When I said that, I realized that could be taken several ways. Your ending thoughts for this show, the executive over at the Promethean. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just related to what Cheryl said there. I would say there's a new world. There's a lot of people flipping extremes, even for us. It's a new world. People are saying people are going to rush back to wherever they were before the pandemic, and then they're going to flip. People are saying they're flipping the other way, and it's 100% different. The answer is probably some in the middle, where we're going to take the best practices of what we've learned from doing what we're doing right now in the current environment. We're going to take the best practices that worked really well when we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, and that's going to be what the future looks like, some mesh of those together.
Absolutely, and the pandemic, is horrible as it is, so many people have died, so many people have suffered. Please don't misunderstand. It forced us to look at ourselves, okay,
yeah.
And what we do, and in our case, in education, okay, and the whole education system will look at itself. Okay, and you said the word diversity a few minutes ago. Okay, diversity, I've been such a proponent of ed tech, in education. Now, finally, we're seeing how important it is, how important everybody comes into it. You guys are doing your share. You really are. And by the way, I want to thank you both. You're both in Seattle, and this show is a 10:30 show my time, but it was 7:30 in the morning. It's 8 o'clock, a little after your time. And I want to thank you guys for being up so early and so alert and so wonderful. Thank you for doing that for me and for the audience.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right.
Really
appreciate it. Well, we'll do more, okay? I will be in touch. I thought this was really a good show. And please, I'll send you the link, and you guys can share it with everybody, as we will do here. And learn a little more about what we're doing, if you don't mind, over at ace-ed.org, our Consortium for Equity. Okay, we're really trying to make things happen out there. So please go over and take a look at it. That's you, my two wonderful guests, and everybody listening. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Lance. You guys are great. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome, and have a wonderful day, and please stay safe. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, that's Cheryl Miller, who's the Chief Marketing Officer at Promethean, damn good company, and Lance Solomon, who's their Executive VP of Operations at Promethean, all right? And in Seattle, again, thanks for getting up so early. Kathleen, thank you for helping me put together the show. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity, all right? That place where we can talk about equity. The industry has so much to offer, far more than just sales where most people meet them. So please, we want the industry voice heard, and we want the educators' voice heard for equity over at ace-ed.org and enjoy our magazine over there. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Stay safe.